Hello and welcome. I get asked a lot, why do I have low progesterone and what can I do about it? Unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there on progesterone, and not the least of which being that the only way we can support progesterone is by taking progesterone. So I want to dive into this today. Welcome to Health and Hormones. I am your host, Rita Johnson. Here we talk about all things related to health, hormones, natural living, and those amazing bodies that God has given you and how to take care of them better. I'm so glad you're here. All right, friends, so let's dive into this. Maybe you went to the doctor because you noticed some things on your chart that weren't as they should be. Perhaps you were noticing a variable length of your post-peak phase. So ideally, we want to see the post-peak phase not varying by more than 2 days. If we sometimes have an 8-day post-peak phase and then other times have a 17-day post-peak phase, that is a sign that we need to really dive deeper into some other things that we might see that could be attributed to low progesterone. Would be things like tail end brown bleeding at the end of menstruation or even before your period. We may notice breakthrough bleeding in the middle of our cycle. We may be having extremely light periods. That can be a sign that we don't have enough progesterone. There's a myriad of factors and things that we can see, but overall, I will say that in general, when we feel that we have a lot of unchecked inflammation, that can be another sign of low progesterone because progesterone does help dampen our inflammatory response. If we're told that we have really high estrogen or if we're noticing really long mucus buildup cycles, these are all things that can point to low progesterone and things that we need to dive deeper into supporting your body and what that looks like uniquely for you. So although there may be a time that it's really helpful to take progesterone with your cycle, we don't want to just take the progesterone without also looking at lifestyle modifications. So things we can do to support our overall health as we also take the medication. And I would argue this is true with about any medication that is out there. We want to always be coupling them with the lifestyle changes, especially if you are one of the population, and I believe there's a lot of us, that don't just want to take a pharmaceutical for the rest of our life. We don't want to say that that is our only option. We would like to say, okay, let's take a pharmaceutical temporarily if that's what my body is needing, and then let's do everything else we can to really support it so that we can then someday, with the help of your doctor, get off of that medication. So the first thing I want to say about low progesterone is that oftentimes we will hear that we have low progesterone and we feel like we've gotten a diagnosis. We feel like we have really uncovered the root of what's been going on with our health. Although that may be a reason why you're having a hard time conceiving, it may be the reason why your chart is looking abnormal, it is not in itself a root cause solution. So when somebody tells me that they have low progesterone, I'm not like, there's our answer. I'm first thinking, why is this person in front of me not making enough progesterone? There's a whole host of things that have to be happening and working optimally in order for our body to make its own progesterone. So I want to dive into some of those because a lot of times we're not told these things. And so then we just leave with a prescription for progesterone and aren't quite sure what else to do beyond that. So some reasons you might not have enough progesterone could be things like your diet. If you're not getting enough dietary sources of healthy cholesterol and you're not going to be able to utilize the cholesterol from your diet to make cholesterol-based hormones, which progesterone is a cholesterol-based hormone. Digestion. So if you are eating those beautiful healthy fats, but you're not breaking them down and absorbing them well, then that can be a preventative factor of us being able to make enough progesterone. If I'm not absorbing my healthy fats and they're just passing through my body, that is a problem. And that's something we can see whether it's symptomatically. Sometimes that's where we kind of go with this. If somebody is telling me that they have a high sugar craving, they have a really difficult time saying no to sweets. If they're dealing with pain in between their shoulder blades and their upper back, if they just feel like they aren't getting enough fats because their skin or their hair or they're, you know, noticing a lot of dry flakiness. Those are all signs that we need to really support somebody's fat absorption. We can also see this on a GI stool map. So if you did some functional testing, particularly with stool testing, we can see if there's fat still present in the stool, which would tell us that you're not breaking it down. And so whether we need to support the liver, whether we need to support the gallbladder, or how we need to do that is kind of dependent from there on whatever else we see presenting itself. It may be just a dietary support. We may need to diversify the fats that you're consuming, or we may need to actually support the function of digestion. Some other things that can prevent us from making enough progesterone are if we have insulin resistance, or if we're pre-diabetic or diabetic. These are all regulated by insulin, which is, you can think of insulin as the master hormone. So in other words, if insulin is dysregulated, it's going to then have this cascade effect downstream, if you will, of things like our thyroid, our adrenals, and ultimately our sex hormones. Sex hormones are like our low-hanging fruit, right? We're really thinking about them in terms of, they are the most incredible thing that our body can do, is to grow another human being. And so if our body doesn't feel safe, if there's dysregulation, if there's inflammation, then it's not going to make those sex hormones. And so some other things that can also contribute to that would be things like gut infections or systemic inflammation. Things are going unchecked. Again, your body doesn't feel safe, and so it needs to really, it's communicating to us by not making enough progesterone that we need to be supported so that we can have optimal health, especially with our sex hormones. Also, stress. Stress is a huge factor with our body's ability to make progesterone. Progesterone is the hormone that is telling our body to warm up, to incubate, if you will, in the chance of a new life having been created at ovulation. And the body doesn't yet know if we have created a new life or not. And so progesterone naturally should rise in the post-peak time. And when the body is signaled to the ovaries, to the brain, that there is in fact no pregnancy that has happened, then our progesterone levels will fall. Obviously, if we have conceived, but the brain is still being signaled that there's no baby, our progesterone levels are falling. Or if we don't have the resources to be able to make and create and keep that elevated progesterone level, which is what should happen if we did conceive, our progesterone rises and then it just stays up. And this is why if you take a basal body temperature every day throughout the month to track your body temperature correlating with your fertility, it will rise and stay up if you conceive, because it's the progesterone in your body that is warming the body up and keeping it at that higher rate. So what can we do? What are some steps we can do if we are having low progesterone, if we want to support our body naturally, we don't want to just take a medication to support it? It's obviously a myriad of factors, right? So we need to kind of dial into your specific body and learn how to hear the language of your body and the way it's telling us it needs to be supported. You may need to look at your diet. Are you eating diversely, especially those good healthy fats? Are you getting adequate protein? Are you eating lots of fruits and vegetables? Those are really beneficial, especially for your gut microbiome, which is going to play a part in this as well. How are you feeling digestively? Are you noticing a lot of bloating, constipation? Are you having diarrhea? These are things that could tell us that we need to support the function of digestion so you can absorb and break down the foods that you are eating. We would look at, what about other sources of inflammation? What else is going on in your body and in your life that's causing inflammation for you? For some people, this is environment. If we live in a moldy environment, this can play a big part for us. For other people, it's more nuanced, right? Things like candles, the smell of candles might set us off, and that tells us something. So it's really getting back to listening to your body and what it's telling you in ways that it uniquely needs to be supported. If your insulin is dysregulated, a lot of times that will really impact how we show up in our day. So I talk about insulin resistance or blood sugar dysregulation in general as our energy levels throughout the day. If you notice that you get hangry, if your meals are delayed, if you're not sleeping well through the night, if you notice dips in your energy level throughout the day, those are all signs that we need to support your blood sugar regulation, and in turn that will help support things like your progesterone production and estrogen as well. So just keep all of this in mind if you're told that you have low progesterone. Not every physician is going to check for your progesterone levels, and not every doctor is going to give you progesterone cooperatively with your cycle. If they are, then this is great news, because they're really diving deeper into what else could be going on. But I just invite you to dive deeper yourself into what else you can do to support your overall health. If you really feel like hormones are the crux of what's been going on with your health, I invite you to grab my hormone balancing ebook. The link is in the description to this podcast episode. I'd love to get it into your hands so that you can see some of these tangible ways that you can start to make these lifestyle changes to support your overall health and fertility.